Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. If you're a new listener, we welcome you and want you to know we're heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday, at the same time. And if at any point that you've missed a broadcast, regulars, please feel free to go to our website, and you can listen to the broadcast at a time at your convenience. So I just wanted to mention that. We've been sharing about the importance of utilizing our emotions in a godly way. And I want to share a scripture with you and just share the revelation that God gave me on this scripture, a very familiar one, and that powerful and beautiful passage of 1 Corinthians 13. And that particular chapter closes in verse 13 with these words, "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity." Now, that word abideth, it means to exist, if you will. Other translations say three things keep on forever. The Greek means, the actual word there means to stay in a given place, in a given state, in a given relation or expectancy. A synonym would be to continue, to dwell, endure, be present, to remain, to stand. So the Word of God is telling us that there are three things that will abide forever. And the greatest of these is charity. There's faith and hope and charity, these three, but the greatest is charity or love. Now, the linking of these three means there's, at least to my mind, a connection or interrelationship between them. And I just like to share the insight that the Lord gave me regarding these three powerful aspects of our existence, this great Trinity, if you will, that we need the revelation to understand how they interrelate, how they are connected, and how they function, if you will. Well, the first we want to look at is love. The Greek there is agape. There's many other different words for love, phileo, and family type love. I mean, but this particular word, agape, refers to the God kind of love. Nothing is greater than God's love. And we, as God's children, His love, that agape love, is spread abroad in our heart. We don't have to try to love the way God does, because He's actually given that to us. It's only our carnal nature which can choke it off at times with anger or with impatience or resentment or jealousy or any of the negative things that we allow to get out of hand, those weeds that choke off the good fruit. But note the listing of the Holy Spirit in that verse. Now, every word of Scripture is divinely inspired. So that means the Holy Spirit, when He was speaking, whether the author wrote it down himself or whether he had it a scribe write it down, like, for example, Jeremiah, that the very words were given by the Spirit of God. It was God specifically put His presence and anointing on that, so we, generations later, would be able to have the comfort and guidance of the Scripture. That's so important. But notice, now abides faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is charity. So there's, think about that listing. There's an ascending order of importance or significance? Think about that. Faith is listed first, then hope, then faith. So does that mean, let me get that straight. There's faith, hope, and then love. So if faith is the first step, is hope greater than faith? You know, we don't think much about hope. Faith is generally always what we hear stressed. But what is hope? Hope is, by definition, a trust or reliance. It's a desire accompanied by or expectation of belief in fulfillment. The Hebrew describes it as a longing or desire. And years ago, I've shared this from time to time, as I was reading Proverbs 13 and 12, that's why I love the King James rendition, and that is my Bible, although I will use others just for insight or for reading, but the King James is my Bible, the authorized King James. There the word says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life." To defer means to put off, which is a synonym for delay or postpone. So when hope is put off or postponed, it makes the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. Other translations render that verse this way: hope protracted makes the heart sick, but the desire accomplished is a tree of life. When what is desired comes, when longing comes true, it is new life to have a desire fulfilled. Hope deferred, how it crushes a man's spirit. The granted wish, a tree of life-giving fruit. Although, as I said, that's why I love the King James, because I believe when the desire cometh, it's not necessarily the answer to our prayers that's a tree of life, or the granted wish, if you will, but it's hope itself. Without hope, we wither away and perish. A hope is something that keeps us, has kept mankind going in the most treacherous, terrible of circumstances. Hope kept some folks alive in the concentration camps during the war. Think about that. So without hope, our souls are truly sick. So let's now look at 1 Corinthians 13 and 13 again in terms of the Greek meaning of the words. Love is agape, God's love. Hope means to anticipate, usually with pleasure, expectation, or confidence. Notice there, beloved, the engaging of the emotions. There's excitement. There's joy. Hope just connects with our emotions. It brings forth pleasure. That's the definition, to anticipate, usually with pleasure, expectation, or confidence. And what is faith? Well, beloved, faith is belief or credence. It's persuasion. It's the conviction of a religious truth or the truthfulness of God. Think about that. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So imagine, if you will, just for the sake of illustration, a three-step stairway. First, we go up this stairway, and then we go down. Just bear with me. Think about this. What's the sequence? Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and charity. We ascend on the first step in salvation or faith. Faith is, that's how we get saved, is through faith in God, believing in our heart, confessing with our mouth. So that's the first step. When anyone gets saved, oh, they're a new creature. It's a brand new world. It's exciting to be alive. So often people testify, even things look different. The colors are brighter. Why? Because we are a new creature. And then as we begin to learn the ways of the Lord, as we begin to read, study, and understand the Word of God, then hope starts arising in our hearts to obtain and experience and possess the fullness of God's promises. And then, as we experience all His goodness, His kindness, His tender mercies, we are experiencing God's love, and it deeply ministers to us. It's a healing force, a powerful healing force, nothing greater than God's love. But then, and remember, as I was sharing in previous broadcasts, is the importance of allowing God to minister to us, to allow Him to meet our needs, our soul needs. That's rather than, find it in food or recreation or work, God is the source of our comfort. So once we're experiencing God's love, which is the top of the stairway, if you will, then we can descend. Think about this. As we experience God's love, as He ministers to and heals our souls, our emotions, then we are free to expand our horizons and hope. Think about that. As you start getting healed, you start thinking of things you never thought of before, and you begin to hope for things. Well, your horizons expand. It's exciting. And then love joins, what happens? Love joins with hope, and that births faith. Think about this. The mind and the heart agree. That's an old cliche, but that's real faith, where our mind, our logical, rational mind, agrees with what our heart is saying. And you see, many times people are trying to, I'm trying to have faith. Well, it's just an intellectual effort or exercise, but they've got to put their emotions in there. The devils have faith and believe. They have faith and tremble. But faith, beloved, is needed in this realm. Think about that. We need faith in this realm. Love is in the eternal, and hope somehow ties them all together. We really can't separate them. And beloved, this is where we're at now. God is wanting to stir our hope, to activate our emotions, to bring forth faith for the greater works. Something's going to have to happen to get us from the intimacy of the bridal chamber to those greater works, those greater exploits. And I believe that which we need is hope, joyful expectation, a pleasurable anticipation, excited confidence. We need hope, as well as the full engaging of our emotional nature for God's purposes. So, beloved, I trust you've been blessed and inspired by what I've shared. It's from the Word of God that God wants all that we are. As David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. God wants every part of us to be utilized for His glory, the whole man to be utilized for the glory of God, so that the whole world will learn of His goodness. Amen and amen. Well, it's been a joy and a pleasure to minister to you, and I pray that you've been blessed and touched by the Word of the Lord, and I'm going to ask the Lord to just touch you now by His Spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, you see every listener. I ask you to touch them, Lord, and take these words and make them bring forth an abundant harvest in their heart. In the name of Jesus. Father, let us be that joy-filled, strong, triumphant church that you've called us to be, eager and willing to do the greater works that you've called us to do. I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, in a moment, the announcer is going to give you our contact information. I thank you so much for listening, and I invite you to write, share those prayer needs. I love you and appreciate you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh,